Thanks for tuning in to High on Horror. I'm Drew.
And I'm John. This episode and every future episode is dedicated to all the horror hounds and smokers out there who want to expand their knowledge of the genre and have a good time.
This week, we're finally bringing you our Exorcist Believer review, which many of you have messaged us about and asked our opinion on. This is the movie that got Universal Studios to cut ties with David Gordon Green and sever their trilogy idea due to scathing reviews and bad box office returns. It seems like Halloween Ends, mixed with a distasteful sequel to The Exorcist, was too much for Universal to take. I'm with them. But we're giving you our review because you asked for it. And we keep putting it off. Today on
High on Horror.
Interviews, reviews, and the latest news all rolled into one. Alright, you know that we like to get into the goods before we get into the goods, so you know what time it is. It's time for Strain Wreck, the segment of our show where we discuss what strain we're getting wrecked on. John, what's on the slab today, man?
24K gold. I don't know why just the...
That's the name? 24K gold or just 24K?
24K gold.
Okay.
It's also, well, according to Leafly, it is also known as 24K.
I'm not going to lie, I'm already high as hell, but I'm looking forward to something. I'm at that point where like I'm hoping I can tell the difference, but I'm sure that I will.
It's a potent hybrid marijuana strain made by crossing Kosher Kush with Tangy. This strain provides euphoric and relaxing effects that leave the consumer in a happy state of mind. 24K Gold offers a sweet citrus flavor when smoked or vaped. Medical marijuana patients choose it to relieve symptoms associated with stress, anxiety, and depression. Growers say this strain has a dark-colored bud, like its parent, Kosher Kush. With a THC content of 20%, 24K Gold is best reserved for cannabis consumers with a high THC tolerance. Let me see.
Can I see it? I want to see. They said it was dark
bud. Oh, wow. That's 20.75. Yeah, you'll have to just open that container. But
20.75.
Uplifted, relaxed, and happy are the feelings. Dry mouth, dizzy, and dry eyes.
I mean, it's definitely like dark green, but there's some like dark spots on it for sure. I can see some real dark patches.
Yeah, I've sampled it a little bit. It's pretty nice. But
it smells good. Hold on. Yeah, it smells good.
So I got a review. Okay. This one, the person I never usually point out how many stars they give it, but I want to specifically point out they gave this 2 stars.
Okay.
This strain is getting, and what I'm saying is word for word. It's not being forgetting words. This strain is getting any stars from me because the flavor is delicious and it's an easier cart to vape on my lungs. The high is just not for me. It's a clear-headed high. It doesn't give me enough of a head change, not enough pain relief, and not much reason for me to smoke this, personally. So I don't understand the strain is getting any stars. Are they? I think they're trying to say no stars, but they gave it 2. And I don't it's getting any stars from me because the flavor is delicious. And it's an easier cart to vape for my lungs.
So you admit that it's delicious and that it's easy to hit, but it's not for you. I appreciate that, but I definitely don't get the no stars. But here's 2 stars anyway.
I'm assuming they're saying no stars because it said this strain getting any stars from me.
That's what I would assume as well.
I wanted to bring up something real quick.
Okay.
Have you seen the trailer for Strangers Chapter 1 or whatever, or Strangers 1, I forget what the exact title is.
Yeah, I have. It's just basically a remake of the other one.
That's what it seemed like, but they threw one of my favorite Cage the Elephant songs on the trailer.
Oh, I forgot you liked them.
Yeah, I love that song, and that one's like one of their ones, it's like one of the deep cuts.
Look, I'm looking forward to it, because if it's going to follow the original, then that's cool, because like the original's awesome. But I'm like, I guess because of like Pray at Night, they felt that they couldn't just like go back to being serious. They needed a complete restart. But it's a Cabin Fever. I don't really feel that the first one needed to be redone. I wish that they just did sequels, but whatever.
Yeah, and is this like, I haven't looked too deeply into it. I've just seen the trailer. I don't know if you know, are they trying to start a new series?
It's a trilogy, and they all take, but 2 are coming out in the same year. 2 are coming out this year. and then worrisome. One comes out the next year, but all three of them supposedly take place over the same 7 days. So like this trilogy takes place over a course of a week, and you're going to be following the strangers through the first, what we've already seen, I guess, redone, and then through two other home invasions. So, I mean, I don't know, man. Pray at Night, I thought it wasn't that bad, but it must have really fucked the series up for them to go, we got to start from scratch.
Yeah, and like, even the trailer, like, same beats from the first one. Why are you doing this?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but no Liv Tyler, man, and she is a pretty one.
Yeah.
She is a pretty one.
But yeah, I just caught the trailer this week. I mean, again, it looks okay. I just wish that I hadn't already known the original Strangers exist.
Well, I have some exciting news as well. The Philippou brothers, the guys who did Talk to Me, are doing another movie called Bring Her Back. A sequel to Talk to Me, called Talk 2 with the number 2, Me, is also in the works, which isn't surprising due to the critical praise and the fact of the first one and the fact that it's A24's highest grossing horror film to date. Bring Her Back is set to be the next film to come out, though, as far as I'm aware. There's no plot details yet, though. Literally all we know right now is that Sally Hawkins from The Shape of Water and Wonka is set to star. So I'm definitely excited for that.
It's funny, literally just ended. We have it on in the background here. Oh, God, Exorcist Believer is going to start next. But
the movie we're reviewing is about to start.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see how the sequel is.
We'll see.
What's your favorite A24 horror?
Probably right off the top of my head, I want to say Hereditary. And that's also probably the most conflicting, the one that people, like, I see people still every week.
A lot of people hate that movie.
Every week there's a post in some social media group about, I just watched Hereditary and it sucked, or what was all the hype for?
But then also I see the opposite, where it's like, I just watched it, I don't know why you people hate this movie.
I don't mean to sound like a dick, but I really do feel like people of like a higher intelligence might appreciate that movie more.
Us big brain people.
Nah, just more people who just don't need to be spoon-fed every detail. But one more thing before we go and go into the next segment here. Great news for Terrifier fans. Terrifier 3 is coming to theaters October 11th.
I saw that.
Yeah, this year. Reportedly 2 weeks earlier than it was originally slated. So get this, Terrifier 2 took $250,000 to make. We knew that. Yeah. It grossed around $15 million at the box office worldwide. Terrifier 3 has a budget of $2
million. I saw that.
A drastic step up from the second film. So can you imagine the murder spree art's going to go on with a $2 million budget?
Yeah, I'm hoping we get another fucking screener for that one.
That would be amazing. Yeah, I can't wait to watch it.
And I want to throw in my favorite A24 horrors, The Lighthouse.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. I'm sorry. Yeah, how rude of me. I just moved on. And
my opinion's the only one that matters. Move on.
I'm sorry, man. Oh, yeah, what a dick I am. Damn.
But, yeah, I'm excited for Terrifier 3. And, once again, we always keep saying, well, how are they going to top the last one?
We'll find out.
Let's see if they do it again.
As long as it's the same people involved, we know they're going to push it. They're going to keep pushing it.
That's true.
All right, well, let's wrap up the smoke sesh and head into our review of Exorcist Believer.
All right, The Exorcist Believer stars Leslie Odom Jr., Lydia Jewett, Olivia O'Neill, and Jennifer Nettles. Victor, played by Odom Jr., is in Haiti with his wife Soren, played by Tracy Graves, and they're on their honeymoon when a massive earthquake hits and Soren is injured. Soren also happens to be pregnant. The doctors tell Victor he has to choose between his wife or his child. We jump ahead 13 years, and Victor's raising his daughter Angela by himself. Angela and her religious friend Catherine decide one day after school to go into the woods and try to commune with Angela's dead mommy. The girls end up disappearing, and there's a search for them. I mean, because it's always good to try to commune with the dead. You've never seen anything bad come out of that. And
when's that ever backfired?
Yeah. So they disappear, there's a search for them, and then finally they find them. With Angela thinking they've only been gone a couple hours, and we find out it's been 3 days. And the kids seem pretty normal at first, but this is an Exorcist movie, so that shit ain't gonna last. Angela starts getting worse and worse, and her dad takes her to the hospital. While there, he encounters a nurse named Anne and is convinced that Angela's possessed. Anne was at one time to be a nun. She gives Victor a book written by Chris McNeil, who, of course, was Regan's mom from the OG Exorcist. And then it basically turns into the original Exorcist to an extent here, except we formed the Avengers version of an Exorcist team. I won't go into play-by-play of that. I'll get my opinion of the movie here. We can go more in-depth with spoilers. It's an interdenominational group together. That's what I was calling
the Avengers. Yeah, I get you. I get you.
But, yeah, so what... What happened with the horror writing potential of Danny McBride and David Gordon Green? 2018 slapped, as the kids say, or slaps. Kills was okay. Ends was god-awful. And The Exorcist Believers just downright boring. Mm-hmm. To paraphrase John Carpenter, how do you fuck up an Exorcist film? I remember pausing and thinking I was maybe 30 minutes into it, and it was at the 55-minute mark. And then it hits a lot of the same notes of the first film in a different way, kind of like Halloween 2018. These just don't hit the same way, though. Chris's character feels as useless as Sally in Texas Chainsaw Massacre from 2022. Mm-hmm. The very end should have had a bigger impact than what it did. I love Danny McBride and all his comedic work. I think he's brilliant when it comes to that. I'll always love David Gordon Green for Pineapple Express and Halloween 2018. But please stop resurrected franchises and using the same formula of ignoring all but the first film of the series trope. They're turning into the horror versions of the D&D, the writers from Game of Thrones. Like, 2 out of 10, I'd rather watch Night Swim. Like, at least Night Swim wasn't almost 2 hours.
Okay, so I don't want to turn this into a rant about McBride and Green, so I'll just add...
I kind of already did that.
I
still love them as comedic writers. I love The Righteous Gemstones. I love Veidt's Principles. I loved Halloween 2018. It's been downhill since.
I'll just add that I agree with everything that you said. I think they're beating a dead horse to shit and back with the way they're using the same formula. And let's be honest, it almost didn't work the first time. We've said before, and yes, we love Halloween 2018 now, but when you and I both saw it for the very first time, we were underwhelmed by it, and it took us another watch to really vibe with it. My point is that their formula almost didn't work that first time, but it did. And they still just ran with it. And now the jig is up, and they have no other tricks up their sleeves, and their bluff's been called. That's what it is. Anyway, Exorcist Believer. I'm sorry, do you have something you want to contribute?
I was going to say, are they gonna try to go for Friday the 13th Freddy next?
Don't even. I've been angry enough today. anyway, Exorcist Believer. Lydia Jouett was the only good thing about this movie. I hate shitting on this movie. Because her performance was awesome. That little girl killed it. And it is not going to be recognized now because of the bad critical reception of the film, which is a damn shame. But like I said, she's the best thing about the movie. I hated everything else. I was bored. And we all know that to us, being bored is worst of all. Your movie can suck all the ass in the world. But is it funny? Is it entertaining in any way, shape, or form? Even if we're laughing at it and not with it, like Trolls 2? There has to be some redeeming quality, and the only movies without any redeeming qualities are the boring ones. This fell flat as hell on all fronts. It's a flatliner. It killed the prospects of future films, which is probably a good thing, although I did hear earlier this week that supposedly, why can't I think of the guy's name, who did The Haunting of Hill House? God damn it, don't do this to me. I like Mike Flanagan. Mike Flanagan is supposedly in talks to do some more movies. I don't know if they're going to be follow-ups or what that is, but, I mean, we'll see. I hold The Exorcist in high regard, though. It's one of the greatest... It's the greatest horror film ever made. It's not my favorite, that's Halloween, but The Exorcist is the greatest horror film ever made. And if you're going to bring it back, you better step the fuck up to the plate hard. And this movie pussies out every chance it gets, and that's why I hate it the most. It pussies out every chance it gets. The reason the original holds up still is because it's still controversial and fucked up. The stuff that happens in that movie is still hard to watch, and you cannot do shit in a movie today like that little girl did back then. It just, you can't. That movie had fucking balls, and it said, fuck you, eat shit. It was ironclad. And this sequel has no guts, no soul, no balls. It doesn't push any boundaries. It isn't edgiest in the slightest. They gave us a common, shitty Hollywood exorcism movie and tried to say it's an exorcist film. The Pope's Exorcist was better. Well, do you agree with that?
Oh, God.
Dude.
I can't disagree with that, unfortunately.
And, like, a lot better. Like a lot better at that. Because you can at least laugh at how bad The Pope's Exorcist was. Right?
I mean, yeah, it got a little ridiculous at the end with, like, the people. I remember, like, him, like, flying like it was a fucking superhero. Bring up the superhero trope again. But, like, they was, like, flying through the fucking basement or wherever they were.
But it wasn't boring. It wasn't boring, right?
It was more of a, like, what? Like,
yeah, exactly.
This one, it was just like, I didn't bring this up, but I just remembered this. I was watching it, and when I paused it at the 55-minute mark, I took a break and watched some YouTube. Like, I was like, there's no way. Like, I'm gonna tune out of this movie if I have to keep watching.
So you didn't even, like, go back to it right away. You actually watched something else before you came back and continued.
Yeah,
it.
I was like, I got to do something else. And I came back because I'm like, damn, this is 55 minutes and it's boring. And I mean, The Exorcist, the OG to an extent, is a slow burn, but... Like, oh, this is...
Yeah.
There's at least story, like...
There's a payoff as well.
Yeah, there should have been a payoff in this movie. The end of that movie should have been a huge payoff.
I agree.
I don't want to ruin that, like, the very end of the movie. But that should have been a huge payoff.
I agree.
And you were just like, oh, what? Okay. Like, you did not care.
It's a bastard of a film. And I never thought I'd like The Exorcist 2 more than any of the other sequels.
I was going to ask you.
But that's changed.
Yeah. Because going into it, we were talking at work about it. Because I brought up, I was going to watch it since we were reviewing it. And we were talking about The Exorcist films. And I'm like, you know, one, classic. Two, horrible. Ugh. I was like, three, amazing. Like,
yeah,
I never thought I would say that two's better than any of them, but, like, we were talking at work about it, and because I was scared to watch it because since we were reviewing it, and we were talking about them, and we're like, one, classic, two, god awful, three, amazing. I was like, this one,
the
like,
Exorcist is the beginning and Dominion, they kind of competed with each other, they were better. One was a straight to video movie, and they were better.
Yeah, and somehow two is better than this.
I agree. And I just wanted to say that it's not scary, smart, suspenseful. Yeah. It's a total complete dud. They ruin Ellen Burstyn in her return. She's wasted. And a certain cameo doesn't make the movie any better. It's a minor fan service after being slapped in the face with piss poor decision making and storytelling for 2 hours. I'm over it. I think this is a first for me. 0 out of 10.
Wow.
0 out of 10. You fucked with a classic, a real classic. And when you fail this bad, I'm not giving you any fucking credit. 0 out of 10.
Wow. Okay. So I did want to
drop the mic.
I had brought it up. And I guess you kind of agree with me that Chris McNeil in this one is like Sally from Texas Chainsaw.
Absolutely useless.
Just that like, oh, you so brought her back. More. Why?
They just wanted to bring her back, but they couldn't figure out why to use her. It's a shame because there's a million fan ideas out there that are like way better than what they did. I just don't get it. It was like, let's bring her back. But it's like, yeah, but not just bringing a character back isn't enough. Like, they need to have purpose. They need to have a reason. Otherwise, it's just, it's not really fan service. It's just dumb.
Yeah, and maybe Mike Flanagan will write the ship.
I wonder
if it's still going to be called Deceiver.
I don't know.
Because that was apparently what the second one was supposed to be called.
Green has a thing with that. At Halloween Ends, Halloween Kills, and then it's Exorcist Believer, Exorcist Deceiver. Like, he has these, like, I don't know what it is with these, like, rhyming and, like, titles that tend to flow with the subtitle of the movies, but just hopefully they scrap it and just do their own fucking thing. He needs to go back to comedy.
Yeah. To quote Charles Barkley, terrible. Thanks to all the horror hounds and smokers out there for tuning in and finally getting the Exorcist. I don't know how many times we said next week this was going to be the episode, but the delay was not worth it.
Well, we hope that you listeners liked it or agree or whatever. Here's our opinion of it. And we're pretty sure most of you agree, unfortunately. I wish that that wasn't the case.
Yeah, just from the Google thumbs up and thumbs down, which usually there's so many movies that are like 90% of people like this. It's at 48% of people like it. But anyway, next week we'll be reviewing Infested, another French film.
Oh yeah.
They are, I like French horror.
I think anybody in their right mind does.
So make sure to follow us online, High on Horror 420, Twitter, X, or whatever you want to call it, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. Again, no OnlyFans. If you see a High on Horror on OnlyFans, not us. It's not official.
Nobody wants to see that, trust us.
High on Horror 420 at gmail.com. You want to send us some PPA questions, and check out our website, highonhorror.com. That'll about wrap her up. Catch you later.
And when you're listening to this podcast, please hit that like and subscribe button. It helps a lot. Thanks a lot. See you next week.